National Security and Gun Control, a live broadcast from the Utah State Capitol with Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
I want to mention here for this segment that Sheriff Winder, I believe, is in a meeting right now up at Capitol Hill with the governor, if I remember correctly. And so we actually talked with Sheriff Winder a little earlier today, and I so appreciated him carving out time for us because, boy, he's been on the front lines here in things that have happened right in our backyard. And I mentioned as I opened the conversation with Sheriff Winder, boy, you'd like to think that we're immune to things, that our community is somehow not a ground for these types of outrageous behavior. But I mentioned, you know, not only could it happen, but it has happened in our very community.
Yeah, Doug, you're absolutely right. I think, you know, although none of us want to believe that these kinds of things can happen, and frankly, despite what I think is common in much of the media, they are relatively rare. But we have to be prepared. And I think here in Salt Lake County, what we are focused on is just exactly that. We have instituted, not only within our agency, but collectively with the other agencies, a series of new approaches that I think prepare our community much better than it really has ever been. And, you know, the goal is first in prevention. We do actively try and monitor situations and individuals that, you know, could pose a threat, but we can't always be 100% on that. So the other element is to ensure that, heaven forbid, something like this occurs, that we're ready to respond and mitigate it and resolve it as quickly as possible.
There's such a fine line in respecting people's privacy and not wanting to become so invasive that we become one of those states that we would see in the old-time movies where everybody's asked for their papers on every corner. How do you be prepared, and how do you, without being overly invasive? You mentioned if somebody comes to your attention, what do you do? How do you focus on that individual?
Well, it is difficult, and you hit exactly the nail on the head. The balance between individuals' privacy rights and the need to collectively secure our community is a very delicate balance, and especially now with the volume of information, specifically social media, increasingly the people feel comfortable in saying really some of the most caustic and troubling things on social media, and trying to wind your way through that and recognize what is real risk statements versus vituperative kind of spouting off is challenging. But that is one of the mechanisms we utilize, and I don't think it's any secret. We have we actively monitor social media and other outlets to try and identify patterns of concern, and routinely we have individuals that will call us and communicate with us and say, gee, you know, I'm on a Facebook, you really ought to take a peek at this, or I'm in another chat group, and boy, some of the stuff we see and hear, you just really kind of have to wonder. But that's one of the mechanisms we do and monitor and respond to it. But it's difficult, and like you said, one of the things we try and do is ensure that we're not just doing that willy nilly. We try and develop a reasonable pattern before we interject.
When you look at a reasonable pattern, Sheriff, what actually kind of triggers it where you go, boy, I'm glad these guys called on this individual. We need to look into this. What are the things that do trigger that reaction from you?
Yeah, I think one of the key factors is specificity, duration. So what I mean by that is if somebody is saying, I am going to do the following, or you are going to pay for it on this date, or I have done the following steps. Those are the kinds of things that I think any reasonable person would recognize are actionable. The other factor is duration. Sometimes, people will watch these things unfold, and by the time it comes to our attention, we've got 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months of communications in social media or in other environments that if you go back and you look at it, you think, holy heck. And our concern is that this kind of reaching the boiling point kind of concept. You know, if you're, it's simmering, and as it appears to get more heated up and of longer duration, I think that too is a reasonable inference to suggest that that's heading towards a problem. I can't say that's a end all be all, but these are two of the areas that we focus on.
At that point, when do you actually reach out and have contact with the individual?
Yeah. Well, again, on both of those instances, if we have actionable intelligence that there is an active threat, we will communicate with the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that we physically will send, officers to communicate. We will alert other agencies if because, again, on social media, what we're trying to do is identify where it is emanating from, which is not always easy, Doug, and I understand this, but many of the providers are very reticent, in fact, almost resistant to providing a specific IP addresses and other data to locate the origination of these. But where there is, again, actionable intelligence, we will, if it's not within our jurisdictional responsibilities, we'll communicate with another agency, or if it's in our own, we'll go out and have a conversation. Often, in fact, most commonly, when we do communicate with people, we recognize that they're frustrated, they're angry, they're venting, it's troubling, but identify the origin and feel at least confident that we have mitigated it, and then we'll continue to monitor it. But most of the time, thank goodness, again, it's resolved.
Yeah. Sheriff, we're talking with Sheriff Jim Winder from Salt Lake County. Sheriff, when a situation does go hot, does go active, we do have somebody who acts out. What happens at the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Department?
Yeah, we more and more are implementing procedures that we have garnered from really best practices nationwide. Unfortunately, many of them are focused on active shooter circumstances. And when the information emanates from dispatch, from the original call that we have, actual shots fired, we will implement a series of responses that moves resources from the various areas of our jurisdiction to that location. So we try and get a significant number of assets there. The other change in behavior is that we, in the relatively recent past, now make plans to enter in and address the offender as quickly as possible. As you know, in the past, there was a tendency to set up a containment and wait for additional resources, tactical resources. No longer is that the case. Our officers train in various tactics that they will enter in, and the objective there is to try and stop the perpetrator from harming anybody, and that means putting officers in direct risk to themselves. But we recognize that's the job. We believe we're doing it in a very effective and efficient way, and as safely as we can. But that is one of the main goals.
Sheriff, if we end up with a concealed carry permit holder that is somehow involved, or somehow is involved, meaning that they just happen to be there, what, as a law enforcement official in our state, what is your expectation of that individual? Can they play a positive role?
Well, I want to be very clear on this. It is everybody's individual right to do as you've suggested. I will say that the risk to the individual is extremely high, and not just from law enforcement. We had this terrible situation in Las Vegas. You may recall two individuals murdered Las Vegas officers and then went into a Walmart nearby to obtain additional weapons. A very tragic situation, and as they were in there trying to get these weapons, a very good Samaritan concealed carry holder pulled his weapon out and went to address the threat, and the suspects themselves were able to, they shot and killed that individual well before he was able to engage them. So, I mean, people need to understand that if they're going to engage in those behaviors, they too need to do so from a position that offers them safety, The other risk, of course, is that in an active shooter environment, individuals with weapons in civilian clothing, even off-duty officers, are at significant risk because, again, the tactics we are using now are very dynamic. The best advice I would give to people is if you are using your weapon in the manner we're talking about, and officers enter, you need to immediately go into a passive position, put the weapon down, and get your hands up as quickly as possible, and demonstrate that you're not a threat, because we just can't tell, Doug.
Yeah, exactly. Sheriff, we're almost out of time. As the sheriff of Salt Lake County, what is the role of the public when something like this is coming down? And the overall perception sometimes becomes reality. And the perception right now is how crazy things are. But I read the statistics that show that violent crime generally is down.
You're absolutely correct, Doug. I think that we cannot, maybe it's corny, but I think we need to hearken back to, the British approach in World War II. Here they are being terrorized literally with nightly bombings, yet they tried to maintain normalcy as best as possible, because you cannot allow these kinds of fears to override civil society. I know it sounds easy to say, but you're right. We just do not live in a time and place in which at any moment, we're at risk. These terrible things do happen, but they're predominantly put in the focus because of the 24-hour news cycle and the immediacy of media response, which gives it the impression that it is immediate and nearby and constant. I think that people need to place it in perspective and realize that in general, especially here in Salt Lake, we live in a very civil society and generally very safe.
So the bottom line is, as you mentioned, take it from the Brits and stay calm and carry on.
That is exactly it. And, life is generally very good, and we need to enjoy it every day.
Well, I so appreciate Sheriff Winder joining us here at KSL. I was intrigued, too, at his recommendations, whether you are a concealed carry permit holder or an off-duty officer, the interesting situation you would be in if you choose to act in some of the recommendations from the sheriff if you were ever engaged in one of these active shooter situations. Our town hall meeting will continue. We're going to be talking with Representative Lee Perry, not only a representative here in the state of Utah, but also a Highway Patrol trooper. We'll talk about some legislation he is going to be proposing, all coming up as we broadcast live today from Utah's Capitol Hill.